Well, I'm very happy to have been here, very happy to cover these things. And I want to leave you with some encouragement to know, let's come to the book of Ephesians. Now, the book of Ephesians really is one of Paul's most inspirational epistles. Okay? Now, you will hear me preach out of this and use this many times because we all need encouragement and we all need inspiration. See? Ephesians, let's come to the first chapter. And I want to emphasize this, okay? Never get down on yourself that you wonder why God has called you. I can tell you this. One of the reasons that God has called you is because you're willing to repent. You're willing to follow God's way. That's why. And that's what's so important. And I want you to also understand that because we're going to have trials, I think we're right in the area of the beginning of sorrows. And I think every one of us are going to be met smack head on with some pretty difficult trials that we're going to have to go through. So I want you to always remember, as we will see here, that God the Father himself not only loves you, but is active in your life. See? Don't look and see who you are as you are and where you have come from where you have come. Because, you see, we are to become a new creature or a new creation in Christ, and that creation is done on an ongoing basis. Okay? Let's come to chapter 2 first, then back to chapter 1. Okay? So the point that is important for us to realize is this. As we grow in our relationship with God, which comes with prayer and study and living God's way, you have to have all three, not just prayer and study, but prayer and study and living God's way. Okay. Remember this. Let's begin in verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that faith is what you believe and what God also adds to you as the gift of faith. And remember this, that grace is your relationship with God. Now, if you haven't gone through the series, God's grace and commandment keeping, do so. And if you haven't gone through the series on grace, you need to understand it, because grace is like an umbrella from God under which you are standing. Now, there's one insurance company that uses the umbrella. What is that?
Travelers.
Which one?
Travelers.
Travelers. Okay. They use the umbrella. Well, God gives us an umbrella. It is his grace. Because by grace we have been called, because God chose to call us, and by grace we answer the call. By grace we have been saved from Satan the devil, because by grace he has rescued us from Satan the devil. God the Father himself rescues us. And if you don't think we need to be rescued, look out and see how the rest of the world is captive by him. And just remember, through God's grace and through overcoming, we can overcome Satan the devil. So by grace you have been saved. And through then the grace you received the Spirit of God, the love of God, the faith of God, all the fruits of the Holy Spirit. All of those are by grace, see. By grace you have been saved, and this especially is not of your own selves, from within. Remember what Jesus said. He said, of my own self, I can do nothing. See? Likewise with us. The more we yield to God, the more we trust in his grace and his faith, the more grace and faith we will have. It is the gift of God. You can't earn it, though we have things we need to do. Not of works, that means your own works, so that no one may boast. Now here is the key. This tells us what God is doing in our lives, and God is working in our lives. God shows us his love. God shows us his concern. Because God is doing something with you in your heart and in your mind. Verse 10, for we are his workmanship. Now you remember back there in Jeremiah 18 that God told Jeremiah, go down to the potter, see what he's making. And if he doesn't like what he's making, crumples it all up and starts again till he makes it the way that he wants. And he said that God is the potter and we are the clay. And so God is working within us to make us what he wants of us right now. Verse 10, for we are his workmanship. That's with his spirit, our spirit. And remember, with the Holy Spirit, there are two aspects of it, the begettal of the Father and the Spirit of Christ. Okay? We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto the good works that God has ordained before in order that we might walk in them. So God is creating in you. See? Now carry this one step further. Remember when David repented of his affair with Bathsheba, and he was repenting in Psalm 51. He says, create in me a clean heart, O God. See? So God is creating in you, working with the spirit of your mind and his spirit. So that, and the good works that we walk in them, those are the ways of God that we know of, you see. His commandments, his truth, his love, his faith, his hope. All of those things God is working with us. Okay, so come back here to chapter 1. And let's see how God has done this. So now, obviously, before God created the earth, he had his plan in mind, correct? Yes, indeed. Now, Paul really began to understand this. Verse 1. Now, let me remind you this. Every time you read and study an epistle of Paul, read the first two or three verses. Those are the ones we rarely read, but these are really the most important because they set the tone for the whole rest of the epistle that he has written. And also remember this, epistles are special. Epistles are letters. So look at these as personal letters from God through the Apostle Paul to us. And there is no other so-called holy book in the world that has personal letters. Okay, let's read it. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God to the saints who are in Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. And that's all the rest of us. Grace and peace be to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Think of that. Comes from God, his grace, his peace. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly things with Christ. We have God's Spirit, we have God's laws, we have God's commandments, we have the Passover, we have the holy days, we receive his love, we receive his faith, we receive his hope, we receive the self-control. All of those things come from God, and those are all spiritual things. And the ultimate of the spiritual things are going to be what? The resurrection. Yes. According as he has personally chosen us for himself. Now, when I was translating this, I discovered that the word for chosen was in a special Greek verbal form. And it's called the middle voice verb. Now, we don't have such a thing in English. But middle voice is the one who is doing the action is also the one who is receiving the benefit of the action, so it is to himself. So, to show That's what the Greek, in this case, means, that it shows God's personal involvement by him in your life for himself, so that you're going to be a son or daughter of God. Well, that's how close God is working with us. See, think of that. Forget where you came from. That's not the question. It's where you're going, and what God is going to do is the answer. Okay? According as he has personally chosen us for himself before the foundation of the world. This doesn't mean that you existed before the foundation of the world, but he determined that he was going to personally choose those before the foundation of the world, in order that we might be holy and blameless before him in love. Now look at, holy and blameless means what? Qualities of God. Isn't that true? Yes. That's why we're called saints. We're sanctified. See? Before him in love, having predestinated us for sonship to himself. I want you to notice the personal involvement here, see? And it began right at the start of God beginning to call you. Hold your place here and come to John 6. What happened one day in your life? What was the place? What was the thing that God used to get you started? And if you began to answer, God continued with you. Okay? What were the circumstances in your life that God led you to repentance? All of those things come from God. Listen here, John 6 and verse 44. Okay? No one can come to me unless the Father. Now notice, the Father who sent me draws him. That's how we came to understand these things. From the Father. How does he do that? Well, you get the sermon, the Spirit of God and the seven spirits of God, and that'll answer the question. But God's Spirit is involved in drawing you. See? Personally to himself. For what he is going to give us in the sonship. Okay? Let's come back here to Ephesians 1st chapter again. Verse 5, having predestinated us for sonship to himself through Jesus Christ according to the good pleasure of his own will. I read those verses today and it still overwhelms me. God has willed that he wants everyone that he calls. Think of that. Okay? Now, granted, God uses human beings also to work with them, but it's God's Spirit that does the work. See? According to the good pleasure of his own will, through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his own will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us objects of his grace in the beloved Son. That's something. Think of that. That nothing else really matters when you come to understand this. And the more that we focus on this and learn from it and grow in the understanding and the spiritual meaning of it, the greater we see the calling of God and the greater we see what God is doing with us, you see? And actually that ends up making what? Making us understand more and granting us the humility that we need. See? You know, today, with the things we're able to see in space through the Hubble telescope number 2, now what they did when they put the upgraded Hubble number 2 up in space, because they thought Hubble number 1 was really great. Remember all the good pictures of the universe and stars and galaxies and everything like that? So they chose a place out in space that when they looked out there, The only thing they saw was the blackness of the universe. So they said, let's see what's out there. So they focused on that black spot out there, left it focused, and I don't know how long it took to get the picture. But when they got that back and they looked at it, it completely blew them away. They never expected it. And they had to completely revise their estimates of the number of galaxies in the universe, because where it was total blackness out of Hubble number one, there was vastness of galaxies that they could not hardly imagine. And so instead of saying that there were 120 billion galaxies in the universe, which was their previous estimate, they had to revise it so that there are an estimate of 360 trillion galaxies. Now, the God who created all of those is the one who has called you personally. So the next time you get on your knees and you pray to God, ask God to help you really think on that. And ask God to help you in your personal life to really grow and change and overcome. He's given to us so many things personally involved in our lives. And maybe one of these days, maybe one of these days, when he says, well done, good and faithful servant, he's going to say, and that is your galaxy. So you see, all the trivial little things that we have to get up, give up, nothing. They're nothing. See? That's why when he says, I love you, you need to let that really sink in. See, now, with the help of what God inspired Paul to write, and with what God has given as a witness to this earth, through all of those things, brethren, we can have greater understanding. We can have a greater relationship with God. Okay? Now notice, come down here to verse 15. For this cause, what I just enumerated and many other things, I also, after hearing of the faith in the Lord Jesus that is among you and the love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Now notice this, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And may the eyes of your mind be enlightened in order that you may comprehend what is the hope of his calling, what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the inner working of his mighty power. So I want to leave you with that, brethren. That's what God has called us to. So when we leave, go on our way, it'll be another Sabbath next week, a Sabbath for growing and overcoming, you see. And this is to humble us, not to make us self-righteous to the world, but to understand the agony that the world is going to go through. So I'll leave it with that.
For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.